This edition of the Ridley Report is brought to you by ShireSociety.com.
Recording is on.
Ridley here. Looks like I'm alone for the moment. In the New Hampshire Independence Town Hall meeting. So what will happen is I will deliver sort of a monologue with news about what's been going on for New Hampshire independence over the last week. This will probably mean, this will probably be something more like reading the latest news as reported by others, since I don't have a great deal new to report myself. But it is interesting to talk about the latest news coverage of what's going on. So I'm pulling up ShireSociety.com, forum.ShireSociety.com to see what people have been saying about us, since we don't have a lot to say about ourselves this week. Let's see. There was, there's a piece of news related. There was a poll released by St. Anselm's College in Manchester or Goffstown, I forget which. It's in the Manchester area in New Hampshire, which says, I guess, 68% of... looks like we have... let's see if we have a guest here. Dr. Canning!
Yeah, I see that you're already recording. Cool.
I am. That's correct. Did it tell you that in with audio when you came in?
It put it at the top of my screen.
Okay, good. And of course, that's what the podcast is called. It's called NH Independence Town Hall Meeting Audio Taped. That's the name of the URL. So, all right, yeah. Good. Yeah, because I was gonna run out of things to talk about fairly fast if there hadn't been someone to bounce off of. So I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
I invited Frank Staples to come by, even though it's not super independence related. It's somewhat related. And talk about his arrest over at the Executive Council Funny Money meeting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's related in that we're talking about whether or not we're taking federal funds. So
yeah, you know. It is. Like, he was, in a sense, he was a New Hampshire Liberty activist who was arrested for, you know, trying to stop federal funds from being used, misused inside New Hampshire, arguably. And so although he's not really I don't know that I would associate him that much with independence activism, he was definitely someone arrested for taking a constructive action against the feds. Although some people would not say it's constructive. If you look at the video of him in that first meeting, it wasn't hurting anybody, but he was kind of getting closer and closer and closer to those executive council people, and they got all scared.
And he's the person who I've interacted with on our Telegram/Matrix group, I believe, where I'm preaching nonviolence. He's preaching violence, so eventually he got tired of being on that because he just thought we were a bunch of wimps. So in some ways he's disconnected from our group.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've never heard him make a claim to that effect that guerrilla resistance or violent resistance is appropriate against the government.
Yeah, that's what he was talking
okay,
about.
Okay, well,
I wanted to have Alu on today to talk about, you know, who should use force, when, and that sort of stuff. But he's never available on Sundays, so we'll have to set up a town hall with him another day, or he can rant on his own podcast and I'll broadcast it.
Yeah,
because it seems like the kind of stuff we should discuss, right?
Yeah.
What is the appropriate amount of force to use individually or as the state of New Hampshire versus the feds? So we'll talk about that sometime. So you were talking about Frank and the other people, and their arrests regarding the executive council.
Yeah, so he was arrested. Of course, this has been covered in earlier podcasts, but he was arrested. It's a little bit complicated. He was arrested in December 2020 for being near the governor's house. And he was later on, he was, so they guess they issued him, there were some bail conditions that he received as a result of that arrest when they let him out. And I think one of those bail conditions was he was only to come within a certain number of feet of the governor. So he, when he went to the executive council meeting, he was considered too close to the governor by being at the meeting. Or maybe it had something to do with him walking close to the podium, right? Anyway, they didn't arrest him initially for doing that, but then eventually they probably figured out, oh, that's the guy that has bail conditions. He's not allowed to be there. So then when he went to the next executive council meeting after that, they arrested him for going to the previous council meeting, except it was really for going near the governor's house and getting bail conditions and agreeing to them. It's all complicated, right?
What about the rest of the guys that got arrested back there in December, January, near the governor's house? What happened to the rest of them?
Okay, so you broke up. Can you run that through me again?
What happened to the rest of the people that got arrested in January near the governor's house? It's like they had a trial this week or last week. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, you broke up again, but he was arrested in... He was arrested, I think, in December 2020 near the governor's house. No, I'm sorry, not arrested. Ticketed. Ticketed. So the arrest of them were also ticketed.
And whatever happened to all that? Because I think they had an...
ended up in court. Oh, you know what? Actually, they arrested him. They arrested him in court. That was in court, I think, was where they arrested him for the bail conditions violation.
Oh, that makes sense.
Can you hang on for a sec? I'm trying to change my resolution here so that we can get higher sound quality, but I'm having trouble. Hang on for a sec.
Yeah, I don't...
There we go. Performance settings. Okay. Okay, this will at least make the audio come through properly, even if people can't see us very well. This is really more of a podcast anyway, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened...
Okay, so anyway, what were you saying?
Yeah, what happened at the court thing this week or last week for those people?
His arrest would have been around October 20th at the court, and I couldn't hear your question.
Well, what I'm talking about is everybody else except for Frank.
Repeat.
I don't know why I should have a good connection here. It says I have a good connection. I'm asking about everybody but Frank.
So now what I'm trying to do is change another performance setting.
Yeah, I am on a cell phone, but I should have a good connection to the rest of the world. Ian was talking about how there was a bunch of them that went to court this last week. Did you ever hear how that turned out?
Yeah, so I think five of them were in court, and he was trying to attend that meeting, and they arrested him there. So I think that was actually the arrest that was connected to going too close to the governor the second time. And it's, again, super complicated. They come up with this sort of this string of stuff that no, the public can never follow. So the public can never figure out how screwed up string of arrests is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also the problem of agreeing to bail conditions and stuff. You make everything complicated on your, right? Every time you agree to these things, it gets really complicated.
Yeah, we've set up, I set up that list of different options over on forum.charitysociety.com for how we could ramp up our level of resistance in jail when it comes to that, because it probably will eventually. And again, they're not going to just be arresting people for general anti-mask activism or stuff like that, but they'll probably retaliate against some of us who have proposed the Independence Amendment. And so we need a good strategy for making the most of each arrest. And one of the options that came up was, which one? Oh, yeah. The one option is to refuse to accept bail, to pull a Lauren Canario like she did in 2007. Where the feds arrested her for trying to get too close to Ed Brown's house, within 500 yards of her friend's house, right? So she's walking down a public street, they arrested her, and she declined to leave when they tried to eject her from jail.
Yeah, and... yeah, the last time I agreed to bail, and the whatever restrictions there were, it ended up being complicated, and then realized later, I can't comply to these things because, the last time that happened to me, I was supposed to show up in court on a Monday, and nobody told me, they just told my lawyer, who sent me an email over the weekend. I had a court-appointed attorney person. And I got an email from my lawyer saying something, and I'm thinking, is this the official way I'm summoned to court? So I didn't show up there on Monday, so then they were mad at me, Then they put out a warrant for you, and then when I was eventually arrested and dragged to that court, months later or a year later, well, they just wanted to drop it when I got there, but, there's this strange thing hanging over the top of me. And when I looked it up, it never said there was anything, so I thought everything was fine. Until I'm interacting with a cop, and he says, you have a federal felony warrant. And I'm going, how is that possible? I've never committed a felony with him, or, I've never been accused of a felony. But that's all that started because I said, okay, I'll show up in court when you want me to. And then it gets more complicated. I don't know how I can.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah. It seems like there was one I had where, they had a bail guy show up and he wanted to, do bail stuff with me and $40 and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, I just refused to pay the $40. And so they held on to me. But then they released me the next day. I don't know if they, it seems like the bail conditions were not so complicated, but
I've had that problem of no complicated conditions, just that them wanting me in court, and then they didn't even tell me ahead of time. Well, how am I supposed to show up in court when you're not even telling me,
Then they say, well, he's just saying that, right? Like, how can you prove that you didn't know?
Well, I thought that there was an official way. Wouldn't they send me a piece of mail that says you have to come? This is the way courts have you come to court, is they mention something to your lawyer?
Yeah, isn't it supposed to be, certified mail and all that stuff?
Mm. I would think so. That's the thing, is I'm going, this can't be the way I hear about this. What if I didn't check my mail over the weekend? Then I'm, right? I mean, it's not part of my bail conditions that you must check your mail. I didn't, I thought there'd be a way I'd know this was happening. Right.
I was listening to this. I'm sorry.
Normally, Yeah, normally you can go look in computers and go, oh, look, I'm on the docket. Okay, so I'm supposed to be there. Oh, look, I'm not on there anymore. Okay, I guess I don't have to go there anymore. Right?
Well, I think I was listening to a story or a podcast where a guy was talking about, you know, one day I was sitting in my living room watching Law and Order, and they came and arrested me while I was sitting there. They're like, hey, wait, this isn't how it works on Law and Order. They're nice. Yeah, exactly. They're nice government people on Law and Order.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's always from their point of view, the good guy cops, right? So at that thing, did whatever happened to the guys?
At the trial, I don't know what happened to the others besides, I know a little bit. So Ian Freeman was there, and he did report about it on Free Talk Live, and I listened to one broadcast about that. But actually, I guess I do have some details. He did videotape it, and he videotaped the trial, but I don't think he videotaped them hassling him for videotaping, right? Which is really the more important part. So he was just there with his camera, and they gave him grief, you know, over whether he'd be allowed to film in court. And I don't think any of that got recorded.
Yeah.
So now Ian's being cautious, to his credit. It's not, you know, normally in his nature. but he, you know, he's on bail conditions himself. For, you know, selling Bitcoin, I'm still not sure exactly what all that, you know, they're calling it money laundering. Yeah, but anyway,
they might never formalize the charges. Right. Who knows?
Yeah. Well,
so what we're also, I guess, saying is we need more activists to help us out because we need guys who are filming it who don't have any bail conditions.
Yeah, diversity. But, you know, I bet you, you know, I mean, there were at least five other people there for their own charges, and there were probably another 10 or 20, you know, there to support them. So, you know, they were probably all just milling around, you know, and there's just people are so helpless when it comes to this important question of recording. You just buy a $20 digital recorder, you put it in your pocket, and you have a lapel pin on that sign that says, I'm audio taping. And that way, all of it gets documented. If they want to stop you, then there's going to be a conversation that's going to get recorded about them trying to interfere with your First Amendment.
What do you think is the easiest digital recorder like that to have?
I use those old VNs, but those are kind of hard to come by. I think it's an Olympus VN something or another, VN 50 something. And it took me actually about 6 months to get a replacement for my current VN, which is just a fantastic little machine. I'm a backward compatibility guy. I'm not, you know, if it works, don't fix it. I don't want to get something new and fancy that I don't understand. This thing, you know what it'll do and what it won't do. But I believe an Olympus VN, if you just Google that, you'll find those things. And they're getting more expensive as time goes by, I think, as they're becoming. People are realizing they're better than new ones.
And then that's a good way to audio tape.
I mean, obviously there, you know, you've got options at this point, right? If you're walking into court and you've got a thing that says I'm audio taping and you've got an audio taper going, especially if you're alone, they may give you grief for it eventually. But by that time, there'll be probably 4 or 5 minutes of good audio that you've obtained of them giving people grief. Yeah, and then you're like, so I'm not allowed to record here. Okay, I'll take this out of my pocket and I'll hit the stop button. All right. But by that time, you've got them. You know, you've got the at least some audio of them being jerks, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'll do next time, is because that'd be the simplest thing is to walk into the building with a little, like you're saying, a little thing that tells people that you're recording, and then that way you're recording before you walk in, and it's not your cell phone, it's not all your other stuff connected to it, right?
Right, so you're not waving a camera in their face and drawing a lot of attention to yourself, you're staying within the law, and you're also, but see, this is what I do before I go, like if I'm going to go into a school board meeting, I have the recorder running before I'm even inside the building, right? And I have the sign on that way. Like there was this incident, like when I walked into the state house and I was not recording. and my camera, I think I had it in my backpack or something. I walked into the state house. I didn't have any recorders running, and security stopped me at the entrance. This was in 2008. They didn't like the way I was checking my backpack and searching for my camera, right? You know, or whatever I was doing with my backpack. So they just like, we need to search your backpack. And I didn't get any audio or video of the first 30 seconds of this interaction because I had not started recording before I went in that supposedly open building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is good info. Because that's the thing that I might be able to do next time. And then also, like, if I had it on a little microphone plugged into it, like a lapel thing, then I'd even get better audio, too.
You'll get better audio 70% of the time, and 30% of the time, you'll fail to get audio and not know you're failing. There's another incident. There's something to be said for shooting 4,000 videos, right? So I walk into, I'm trying to film at a Hampton or Northampton school board meeting. It wasn't a board meeting. It was like something smaller than that. Something there where they were really not used to people showing up, and certainly not people with cameras, and certainly not citizen journalists with cameras, and certainly not libertarians. I was waiting. This was a school board meeting. It was in one of their schools. And so what I normally will do during these school board meetings is after I'd ambush interviewed all the politicians walking into the meeting and all the bureaucrats that I could, then the meeting started, which of course is the beginning of everything getting really boring. So you don't sit there in the meeting and watch the meeting. I wander around the school and see what it looks like, right? Is it clean? Are the kids being exposed to dirty conditions? Usually they're not. Well, what kind of propaganda are they being exposed to? What do the walls of the school say? And I can just wander a school for 15 to 30 minutes, you know, and never run out of things to photograph that are interesting to the public, right? Like, oh, look over here. They have a picture of Abraham Lincoln. Well, that has political significance. That's them taking a stand on an issue, right? That it's okay to kill 700,000 Americans and glorify this guy. So that says something interesting. Let's get a picture of that, right? And then let's get a picture of this slogan on the wall over here. And then pretty soon, of course, the bureaucrats are in my face, right? So that makes another great video. But I had a lapel pin on, right? And it wasn't recording.
Oh, no.
Because the connection screwed up. So the more complicated you make it, the more likely it is you'll miss something.
That's crazy.
So yeah, the assistant superintendent popped out of the meeting to hunt me down.
Yeah.
And when she found me outside the, you know, outside the meeting area, actually, I was just sitting there with my laptop, you know, getting some work done. And she walked up to me and told me she'd like me to leave the building just because she's assistant superintendent. And she thinks, apparently, she confused me with a student. I must have been working out. Must have been taking the food.
You could have one of those little pins that say, hey, fellow students.
Yeah.
I don't look 50 years old.
Well, I didn't then either because I wasn't 50 yet. But I was trying to go backwards, and anyway, so did you have any NH exit news of your own?
Not that I can think of that. I'm not on a computer to go through my links that I've been grabbing. So the only thing I can think is to tell people, I've noticed people in our movement have trouble. We're not all linking to each other. We're all using different social media, right? I'm trying to have every link that comes up of interest on nhexit.org eventually, right? I put it in a blog post. So if you're looking for something, you should find it there. Or if you think something's important, send it to me. Otherwise, you know, I'm always scouring. So I look at nhexit.us, right? And if I find anything there, I broadcast that everywhere that I can think of. I check the Freekeen Odyssey channel and your Odyssey channel, right, to see if you guys have uploaded anything. And if it's any NHXit stuff, I try to broadcast that. Yoursite.com is pointing to my list of links right now. So if anybody thinks I'm missing links, we can add that. Oh, the other thing, I would put out a request, as Dave Ridley has pointed out, nhexit.org is an ugly website in seven different ways, right? Well, if somebody would like to help me beautify it over time, contact me. And if somebody can help me do that, that'd be great. I'm using Drupal as the content management system.
Okay, so well, let me put in a note to self here. I will try to call Free Talk Live and put that request out to all the listeners that we need to volunteer to do that.
This is a way that somebody can help NHXit, and it doesn't cost money. It just costs some time. It doesn't give you bail conditions for now. And you can do it anonymously. So when the feds come and tell me, I can go, I don't even know who did this work. And then when they torture me, as I used your line one time, Dave, I used your line of, I will succumb to torture.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten. I said that to a jail guard when I was arrested for, one time I was arrested for handing out flyers. Yeah, I asked the guard. I said they sent me to, the feds arrested me for handing out flyers at a federal building. Two flyers. Back in the days when they apparently arrested people for that, I guess they stopped now. But they sent me to, they kept bringing me to court for that, for that $125 fine for handing out, it's called distribution of handbills. That's the charge. And when I kept not paying the fine, they sent me for 4 days to Massachusetts jail. So when I got processed at the jail, the guard was like an Afghanistan vet or something like that. And, what did he say? He told me all these things I was going to do, and he was going to make me do them. And I said, well, are you willing to torture me? And he said, no, we don't want to do that here. I said, would you torture me if you were in the field in Afghanistan? And he said, well, yeah.
Yeah. If he was in a different place, he'd. I said, and then like, well, and how far would you take it, too? Yeah.
I said, well, okay. I said, I mean, if you torture me, I'll eventually succumb. It's my duty to resist as long as possible. And his eyes just got wide, you know. And from then on, we got along great.
Yeah, isn't that funny? So I've used that line before. I think Kat has also. Kat also in that situation had the district attorney person say, begging her to talk to me to make me be reasonable, and I wasn't doing anything. You know, I just.
Yeah, I mean, their level of tolerance of this stuff is really not that high. I mean, our level of, you know, I'm pretty sure my level of tolerance for waterboarding is not going to be that high because I've pressed it on myself, right? It's not easy. But the, you know, or cold showers or whatever, they can do things to you. But I think they're just so used to crappy resistance or no resistance that even moderate resistance works out fairly well. Seems that way, you know, from my experience, but I don't know.
Yeah. So the only other things that maybe the audio people don't know about, so I'm going through the websites I check on. And then I also we have a Telegram group and a Matrix group, which are connected to each other. The Telegram group was started back at Porkfest this year, and then for NHXit, and then it morphed into something that Alu and I are in charge of. And I find Telegram really annoying, so I don't use it if possible. It messes up my laptop. And then remember last two or three sessions ago, we had Think Penguin tell us about Matrix and stuff like that again. And he fixed it so that the Matrix server that's connected to Free Talk Live and those kinds of people works with Telegram. So I'm logged into that, and that works great for me. It does not mess up my computer, and it works every time I go there. And it pulls all the Telegram messages over to us and sends all of our Matrix stuff over to them. So that's been working good.
Yeah, so I'm really happy with the NH Exit Telegram group. I try to check that every time I open Telegram, which is almost once a day. So that's proven to be pretty useful in high levels of traffic.
Okay, good. And then Shayna had the problem of she was realizing that the only way you can communicate right now with the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence is their Signal group. So if you use Signal, you can get on a group that's run by some of the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. So I get notes from them about once a day or so. So that's another.
Yeah. And I think their Twitter is actually pretty active, isn't it?
Not that I know of. Not incredibly active.
Okay. I felt like when I was on Twitter most recently, I thought I'd seen some recent stuff from them, but...
Okay, cool. Well, I should get that, I'm doing the NH Exit Twitter, so if they do anything, I grab it or retweet it, so...
Okay. But it doesn't seem like, if we've got a central point of failure, it's sure not obvious to me right now, and so, Ian probably remains such a thing, but that's going to decline over time, as he gets eaten by the system, that central point of failure phenomenon is going to, we're going to have to deal with that when we lose him.
Yeah, because that's a lot of the stuff. So, like right now, if, because he's some of the, he's hosting the weekly talk with Mike building up to the amendment.
Yeah.
Right. And then, but we could continue that without him if necessary. And I'm just also trying to help people connect because they only have one of these connections. So I'm trying to help them find, if you use this, then you can find us. We're not everywhere, but
yeah. Well, if you think about it, when we lost Ian for, several months in March, I guess March through May, roughly, or March through April, some things didn't work properly and some things didn't get done and some levels of activity went down, but by and large, it didn't feel to me like I didn't feel like we were knocked out of action, as a group, even for a day. If you just think of the Liberty Yet movement in New Hampshire as a group, New Hampshire Independence is a smaller group at this stage. So, what would it do to that if Ian were re-abducted tomorrow? I guess it would. It might make the Tuesday meeting a little bit less reliable, because he's been attending all of those, and I only attend about 70% of those. I just have to bump it up from 70 to 100%, I guess, and try to attend more of those and record them. Or you could be there, or something. Yeah. I think it would still function. And we really don't need two meetings a week anyway, all that badly. If we had to, we could just have this meeting, and if 20 people show up and this meeting is overwhelmed, that's just the problem we want to have.
Yeah. Also going along with that, if anybody wants to be on this town hall but can't make it at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, you could contact Dave or I and we could set up a time to meet with you on this channel.
Yeah. Oh, and I should just verbally say what the channel is, although I'll try to add the link to it, but it's Gypsy. Well, it's a little bit long to read, but it is readable. JIT.SI/NH Independence town hall meeting audio tape. And the word meeting is actually abbreviated, so MTJ. MTG. Wow, that's going to be impossible to remember. Okay, so what you want to do is just look at the video description. The video description will have the link to this, to this spot where we have our town hall meetings. And so far, it's always been the same spot.
Yeah, and if you're just listening to this on the podcast or something like that, if you go to the list of links on nhexit.org, you'll find this. And if you go to nhexit.org, it's one of the tabs at the top, the town hall meetings.
Yeah.
So you can find it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, these names, the good thing is the name is not changing, which I like a lot. But, yeah, it's not something I can, that I can remember.
Right. Yeah, I know. I listen to a lot of, I'm like a voracious, I download about, 10, maybe 10 YouTube speeches per day, like TED Talks or podcasts or stuff like that. Most of I have to get them from YouTube still, unfortunately. Then I listen to them while I'm eating or something like that. And I get so angry. My standards keep going up every time I listen to one of these things because I'm like, there's a break of 30 seconds and nothing's going on. I have nothing to listen to while I'm eating. So I get really angry if there's anything in a podcast that's boring or it's this, there's nothing going on or it's people talking about their smash up the likes for 2 minutes because YouTube told them to. And that just makes me so angry. Oh, I have to stop eating and go back over to the laptop and hit the forward button. I hate that. So I'm trying to fill up these town hall meetings with content. There's no breaks and nothing too boring. But I apologize if we have boring.
Oh, well, so that's the only stuff I know. Is there other news you wanted to put out or?
Yeah, so I had this. Okay, so it's a post from Ian Freeman on forum.charitysociety.com that's interesting. It says, quote, U.S. on wrong track, say over 68% of NH young voters, North Country Republicans undeclareds. NHExit.us. A recent post over at NHExit.us reveals some of the interesting demographic breakdowns of the St. Anselm College poll from this month, which showed 68% of New Hampshire voters think the United States is on the wrong track. That number alone is impressive, but some categories of voters were even more likely to say wrong track, like younger voters, people in the North Country, Republicans, and the much coveted undeclared voter. Check the details at nhexit.us, unquote. So this is sort of a post talking about a post, so it's not as direct as I would have liked. But he was reporting this on Free Talk Live the other day. He thinks that's a significant exit-related number, that 68% of New Hampshireites think the state is on... They think the United States is on the wrong track.
Yeah, so I'll have to... I haven't read that whole article. So, yeah, that's at the top of nhexit.us right now.
Yeah, he posted that on nhexit.us. And okay, actually, I don't think there's some demographic breakdown that shows that the way that number breaks down is even more impressive than the number itself. That would be useful in helping to bring committee members closer to our position as this goes toward a committee hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting every time we get some data like that.
Let's see. Oh, so and when all else fails, we can always talk about the things that the mainstream media is saying about us or that other press are saying about us. Let's see. And there is new traffic on the mainstream media thread. There are I call it the NH Independence Drive media coverage thread. So let's see. Oh, talk among yourselves while I look up something.
The couple of things that I really enjoyed this week was there was a good Mises.org article about how we need to take secession seriously that was posted. I posted that. And there was a really good podcast episode of the Tom Woods Show where he and Jeff Dice were doing a talk and talking about what should we do, you know, right now under these conditions. And their main thing is thinking decentralization, secession. Because we're never going to convince certain people. So their answer was decentralization. So it was right down our, right in our alley.
Yeah, that, and that term is, you know, one of the ones, it's really not politically charged.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some coverage on, I guess I read quite a bit of coverage last week, so I'm going to fall back on the Reddit thread. Quote, a bill has been introduced to allow New Hampshire to secede from the United States. That was by the Free State, I guess, at the Free State in H posted that. And so it got 34 comments, and I'll read some of the comments. Try to read them all, actually. Quote, that would be great, but I cannot find any local news about this. It was a thing about 5 years ago. I live in New Hampshire. Unquote. Quote, don't get me wrong. I don't think this will go anywhere, but it's good news and shows that secession is gaining traction. Unquote. Quote, oh, mother of God, yes. Unquote. quote from I Am Unkitty. Shit, I'm in the wrong state. Get your shit together, Texas. Unquote. Quote from Hohoyan. Full story on in New Hampshire secession. And he links to Liberty Block.
Okay.
Quote from Nintron 711. Guys, I know what future country I want to move to. That said, I bet my life savings. This gets completely rejected, sadly. Unquote. E. Cincinnatus, quote, don't know about this. It's great from a purely ideological standpoint, but execution would suck, and people would frame it in the same way as the last Civil War, trying to associate free staters with slave owners and such. Best move would be to lock down New Hampshire as a free state. That would be a stepping stone for libertarians in America and vindicate the movement. Then they could pick another low population state like Wyoming or one of the Dakotas and have non-NH libertarians move there. It would probably be more successful than the first time once people know it works. Would be big long term and bring the existing parties to the table. Rinse and repeat. Unquote. That's so complicated. I'll let you react to that, Russell.
Well, it's so funny because I don't quite understand what he means by just make New Hampshire a free state, you know, and then move on to the next. I mean, what is that even? I don't understand what that means. Because also, by definition, what we're saying is we're not allowed inside of the federal system to make our place very free, right? Because if we still have to comply with federal regulations, then you're never free. So I don't quite understand how that works. And also that thing of they need to do it all over the place, which we haven't even done it in one place yet. So I don't know why. We're already moving on to Wyoming and the Dakotas.
Well, I like what Mark Edge used to say. You know, people don't actually want to push for freedom. They just want to talk about it on the internet. And I think that ties in with the fact that people want to, it's the Mars problem. It's like everyone is all gaga over Mars. Yeah, They're not even on the moon, right? Why is Mars? You don't even think they landed on the moon. But okay, let's assume for the sake of argument that they landed on the moon, which I assume you don't. For the sake of argument, they don't even have five people watching. They don't even have five people sitting there on the moon washing dishes and scrubbing oxygen through dust, right? Yeah, that's not even happening. So they're not going to Mars, friggin' Mars. And if they do, they're dying. I could be wrong, but it's just there's nothing there except research. That's the only thing to do with Mars is research. And maybe about 150 years from now, it should be able to terraform it. But other than that, it's useless, right? So it's of no value right now. They're looking too far forward and not paying any attention to the moon that's right in front of them.
Well, it's also funny to see all the comments where it's the, well, that's a good idea, but it'll never happen. Well, then I guess it's not even a good idea. Or like, why are you even talking about it if you don't really think it could happen?
Yeah.
Or like, would it be wrong for us to push for this? You know, that's the thing. Okay, so then don't get in our way because we're pushing for this, and then we'll see what happens. Right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's nothing wrong. I mean, this post is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with this guy or his ideas. It's just that for those of us who have the thing right in front of us, everything else just feels like a distraction, you know? And sometimes I get too critical I shouldn't hold this post against this person. It's nothing really wrong with it.
Well, also some of those people we could move along the path soon.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the right track. You know, it's easy for humans to just look too far forward sometimes to stuff that doesn't matter unless you get through this first step.
I'm also thinking that part of the reason of having New Hampshire independence is to legitimize things like Texas independence, because I think it's less likely that New Hampshire independence people will be accused of being slave owners.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be kind of a hard one to, okay. So, yes, can you tell me where the slave shack is on this property I don't own?
There's no plantations. None of us have any slaves in our lifetime. There wasn't any in the previous lifetime. What does this have? We're not neo-Confederates. We were never Confederates. You know, what does this have to do with the Civil War and the Confederacy? It doesn't.
Well, we're the descendants of the New Hampshire secessionists who tried to withdraw from the Union, and you know, the ideological descendants. Well, I guess in my case, technically, I might be, you know, physical descendant too. But the people who tried to, secede from the United States in 1814, to get New Hampshire out of that unnecessary war with England.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another fun comment I got this week was somebody saying, well, we need to join with like Maine and Vermont. And then somebody said, well, no, we can't join with Vermont because Vermont seceded from New Hampshire once. People forget that happened once. There is no Vermont if they hadn't seceded from New Hampshire.
Yeah, or at least New York or whatever, yeah.
Well, it's part of New York and part of New Hampshire. It was, you know, it was a little bit of both.
The other thing is we are ideologically descended from the abolitionist secessionists of 1850 era, who tried to secede New England from the slave holding United States.
Yeah, those people are the people that inspire me right now in NHExit. Right. I'm trying to follow their logic.
Abolitionists. If you think about it, like people are they're angry at us in some cases for wanting independence. That associates us with the Confederacy, which doesn't exist anymore. You know what? The people who are accusing us of that stuff are associated with the United States, which still does exist.
Mm-hmm.
It imposed slavery, and in addition, it still imposes it, right? In the form of income taxation.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran a torture chamber, for God, the love of God. It ran a torture chamber at Bagram Air Force Base. You think there's a reason the Afghans wanted Americans to leave?
Yeah, we don't want to be part of these wars. And I don't know how I can get away from U.S. wars while still being a U.S. citizen. I haven't figured it out. They're not going to stop doing it.
In a sense, you know, from a leftist perspective or an anti-war perspective, what we're doing, this is our duty to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East and around the world who have been bombed and stand to be bombed soon by United States operatives. And I'm not talking about terrorists being bombed. I'm talking about the 8 civilians that get killed for every terrorist they bomb, right? According to their own numbers. It's our duty to liberate as many people who want to be liberated as possible by voting for it. If they want to vote for it, they can be liberated from having to pay for that. And if, you know, if 1.4 million New Hampshireites are no longer having to pay federal income tax, that's money that's not going to be used to starve Yemeni kids, right?
Yeah, and it gives other people ideas.
Yeah. Right?
Other of the 330 million people in the United States might get ideas.
Well, you know, you have to wonder, you know, what would some of the people who hate the United States, what would they do if they saw, if they wanted, they want to hurt Americans physically, if they saw, hey, wait a minute, there's something else going on here. There's also Americans that are trying to separate from the United States. What if there's this state over here, they separated from the United States. You know, maybe that's how the United States gets stopped, as opposed to, you know, terrorists having to bomb it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many different things. It's like we're going down different paths, you know, than what they've been telling us the paths we have to think. The way we were taught in school, the way the media talks about it. These are just totally different paths.
You know, imagine how crappy our opinion would be. And of course, most people aren't even paying attention, but I was paying attention, you know, and, you know, certainly my relations with Serbians were somewhat strained in the 1990s, right? the thing was that, you know, obviously Serbia was going on a rampage around the Balkans and gunning down random people. The Serbian government and its paramilitaries were doing this. And, you know, what made it possible for me to easily get along with Serbians again was the fact that some Serbians didn't do that, right? They ran for office against the war, and eventually the people who stopped the war were Serbians, right? It was just these college kids, basically, you know, who ramped up the protests against the Serbian president, Milosevic. And they showed, they were the textbook civil disobedience, like they were better than Gandhi, right? The stuff they did was just brilliant. So it's really important to set that example for the foreigners to look at, because it can makes me, I'm able to look at Serbians as heroes instead of just genociders, right? Foreign Americans can look at, or foreigners can look at some segment of American society, especially if we have a whole separate state, a whole separate country here. They can stop looking at us, at the whole continent negatively.
Yeah, because we're not being represented properly by the federal government. That doesn't represent our hopes and dreams and plans. And yeah. And how can they know that?
Yeah. All right. So that post was useful for triggering debate. But I don't know if I have any other updates or anything like that.
No, I don't. And yep, that's the stuff I know.
Okay, so the media coverage thread, I've checked that. I'm going to check a couple other threads, but if I don't see any other news, then I'm going to probably go ahead and call it.
Okay, sounds good, Dave.
All right, thanks, Russell. And this will appear on RidleyReport.com probably in about a week or so.
Okay.
After I have three meetings recorded. And I'll end on the note by the New Hampshire state rep. I can't remember his name. Doing our work for us. Quote, I would absolutely support any federal attempt to crush any state that attempts to dissolve the union. Unquote.
There you go.
A New Hampshire state rep said that recently. So we're, at least we're getting attacked.
All right. Talk to you again.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
2,000 liberty lovers have moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project. But there's a saying, my saying, actually, united we stand, divided we rise. If you think the Free State Project is too centralized or restrictive, join the Shire Society instead. They're also recruiting people to move to New Hampshire, but they're decentralized and have no board of directors. ShireSociety.com